Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that we can gather here this day to remember the birth of your Son and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in all things. Amen. So the text which we're going to be looking at is what Deanne read prior, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. This is Jesus. Many people who look at or hear this passage of Scripture, these words from the Bible, many people often assume that they were written after the birth of Christ. But these words were written approximately 700 years before Jesus. This is an amazing prediction of what was going to happen, that there was that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was going to be born into this world. And often people make predictions. Often people make predictions. There's many predictions in the Bible about who Jesus Christ was going to be, that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, that he was going to be born of the Virgin Mary, that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be resurrected, and there's many predictions in the Bible. But there's also many predictions that people make, and many bad predictions, you could say, that people make. I've got some of them here on the screen, which you can take a look at. So this is the first one. This is a terrible prediction that people made. Before man reaches the moon, your mail will be delivered within hours from New York to Australia by guided missiles. We stand on the threshold of rocket mail. That was a prediction by someone, and I don't think it's there today. There's other predictions as well. Have you got another one there? Remote shopping, while entirely feasible, will flop. I think that one's been proven wrong. Have we got another one there? The automobile is a fad. The person who wrote this one was very fond of horses. He said horses are going to be around. It's just a fad. A rocket will never work. Computers will weigh just 1.5 tons. Nuclear-powered vacuum cleaners will become a reality. Now, I don't know about you. It makes more sense that if we had a nuclear-powered plant, I'm not suggesting anything here, but I'm saying that it would probably make more sense to have it coming from one plant instead of everybody having a potential bomb in their living rooms. And so on and so it goes. There was other ones as well. The person who predicted, who was part of building the Titanic, and he said, there's no danger that the Titanic will sink. The boat is unsinkable, and nothing but inconvenience will be suffered by the passengers. Nothing but inconvenience. Well, he was wrong, wasn't he? Another person said, the telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. That was in 1876. And so it goes on, and I think we often make predictions, even as individuals we make predictions about things, don't we? I know there's certain people in my life and other people that I know that they'll wake up in the morning and everything's going rosy, everything's going well, they'll make their cup of coffee, they'll put sugar in it, they'll put milk in it, and then accidentally they'll knock it over with their hand, and all of a sudden the day is going to be the worst day they've ever had. Something terrible is going to happen because... Or you're leaving the house and you've got your child and he vomits on your shoulder just as you're leaving for work, and all of a sudden your prediction is that it's going to be the worst day possible. And we're like this. We do these things. We're shocking at making predictions. But here in the Bible, what we have here in Isaiah chapter 9 is a prediction of Jesus Christ. Here we have a child who is to be born, a son who is to be given. This is just one of 300, conservatively, 300 predictions in the Bible about Jesus Christ. This is just one. There was a person, mathematical genius, if you like. I don't know. He was into his maths, enjoyed his maths. He was a professor. He looked at the different predictions of Jesus, and he took eight of them. Eight, that's five. Eight predictions about Jesus Christ, and he calculated the odds. And he said the odds of this happening with one person, just eight of them, was one in 100 quadrillion. One in one, I don't even know what this number means. It's one in 100 quadrillion to one that the chances that this could be fulfilled in one person. And it was Jesus. And that's just eight predictions. You have 300 conservatively in the Bible predicting that Jesus Christ was going to come about all realm of his first coming and even his second coming. That's amazing to me. I look at that and it blows me away. The precision, the accuracy of this. And you think, well, maybe God's just a really, really good guesser. Maybe he's just really, really good at guessing things. And I imagine that God is really good at guessing things. He is God. But what we see here is not just a prediction, but a plan. It's the plan of redemption for mankind. It's the plan of redemption for mankind. I think about this, though, and I talk to people about it. About these predictions, and people respond in different ways. Some people will believe it. It's fantastic. That's amazing. Some people will deny it. I don't think that's true. Some people will be apathetic. Who cares? What does it matter? What does it matter if this is true, or what does it matter if it's true or not? I think about this, and I think about our culture, and I think about the way that we often are apathetic to particular things. And in particular, these predictions. And, you know, some people will say this. They'll say, well, that's okay for you. You can believe that, but I believe this. That's your truth. That's your truth. You can have your truth. You take your truth. I've got my truth. You've got your truth. And we can go our separate ways. And in one sense, look, we do live in a country where people can have their separate beliefs, which is fantastic. But often people will say that. This is your truth, and this is my truth. But I wonder how well that works in the world. So, we can try this. This can be an example. We can put this into practice. When we leave today, it's not really advice. Let's say it's hypothetical. When we leave today, if you're going on Great Eastern Highway and you're driving down the road there and it's 80 kilometers per hour. Now, I'm assuming that no one speeds here in their car. No one at all speeds. But let's say hypothetically that people do. And you're going down Great Eastern Highway. You're going at 100 kilometers per hour and the police pull you over. The police pull you over, and the officer says to you, he says, hey, did you know you was going 100 kilometers per hour? And your response is, look, that's your truth. You can have your truth. You can believe what you want to believe, but this is my truth. And I was going, I believe that 100 is perfectly fine. Or you just say, no, I was going 80. This is my truth. How do you think the officer would respond? You see, it doesn't work in reality, does it? But we kind of like, when we come to predictions about Jesus Christ, we think it's optional. Or perhaps, you know, it is coming into fire season. And imagine somebody comes to your house, right, down the street. They tell you there's a fire. They're banging on the door. You open the door up. You've got kind of like raining ashes. The sky is kind of glowing red because of the fire. And the person says, you need to get out of the house. You need to get out of the house because there's a fire. And you say, hey, this is your truth. My truth is different. I don't believe there's a fire. You know, we would be crazy to do something like that. It'd be crazy to do something like that. And yet, when we look at the scriptures, it's so accurate in what it's saying about Christ, that sometimes we're just apathetic about it, or we just deny it. I would encourage us that we look at these things and we take them with the utmost seriousness of what God is showing us, that he had the plan of redemption in his hand before the foundation of the world, that the plan was to bring Jesus Christ here, that he would be born in a manger, born of the Virgin Mary, grow to be a man, crucified, resurrected, so that we can have salvation in him. In him. As I was thinking about this, though, and thinking about facts, you know, it's easy to cite facts and things like that. It's easy to know things about God. Easy to know things about God. But what's most important is actually knowing God. We can cite facts all day about who God is, but if we don't know him, it doesn't make a squat bit of difference. For instance, you know, you can cite facts about a person. You know, you can look at the color hair that they've got. You can say, oh, you've got brown hair. You've got blue eyes. You know, you may know what that person eats for breakfast. You may know where they work, what they drive. And if you did know that much about a person and you didn't actually know them personally, then you've probably got a problem. It's frowned upon in Australia to be doing that. But if that's the case with God, then it's also a problem. It's a problem just to know things about God, but to not actually know him personally. And this is why Jesus Christ was sent at this time. This is why Jesus Christ was sent into this world as a baby, to grow up in this world, to be a toddler, to be a teenager, to grow to be a man, so that he can lead the way, so that we can connect to God through him, so that we can be reconciled to God through him. When I think about Isaiah chapter 9 and what Isaiah is saying here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, these are not just facts to me. I look at this passage, and beneath this I see a person, and I see the person of Jesus Christ, and beneath that I see the love of God. I see the love of God. This is not just facts, these are not just words, but the love of God is behind this. And this is why Jesus Christ came into the world, because of the love of God, because he loves us, because he wanted to die for us, because he wanted to take our sin upon himself. The love of God is shown that we can be reconciled with God, that we can be reconnected with God, that God can become our Father. When thinking about this and thinking about knowing the facts, the information about God, and knowing God personally, which only comes through Jesus Christ, and knowing the love of God, knowing the love of God, which comes through Jesus Christ. We can know and we can know, but there's also the show. Knowing and showing the love of God. And how do we show the love of God? I was having a discussion this week with a fella, and he was going through a very difficult time. This person was going through a tremendously hard time. He'd lost a lot of weight. He hardly had any kind of, like, he was lost all his muscle. He could hardly walk, could hardly stand, couldn't really go up any steps or anything like that. Really difficult time, going through an extremely hard time, kind of like looking very worn, kind of big beard, big bags under his eyes. He was in a terrible state. And we were talking, we were discussing with each other. We were talking about many things, actually, and then we were talking about Christianity, and we were talking about Jesus. And this person said to me, he goes, he's an atheist. And I thought, great, fantastic. And so we were talking away, and he said that he wasn't just an atheist. He said at one time he was a militant atheist. A militant atheist is somebody who's so zealous to tell people that there is no God that he's evangelizing people. He's going around, and any time he hears somebody talking about religion, he'll jump in there to tell you why you're wrong. And I loved the conversation. It was a wonderful conversation. And we were going back and forth, and he was telling me what he believed, and I was telling him what I believed, and we were talking about morality. And my suggestion was, well, I don't know if we can have morality, absolutes, if there is no God. How do we absolutely say that something is wrong if there is no God? And he kind of like, we went backwards and forwards with that for a little bit. So there was lots of disagreements, but there were three things that we did agree on. The first one was this, that we both love the conversation of religion and politics. So I would suggest to everybody, this is my suggestion, it's Christmas, and there's no better time than Christmas. You've got all the family around, you've got people you like and people you don't like. Talk about religion, talk about politics, bring some excitement into the air. That was the first thing that we agreed on. The second thing that we agreed on was religious hypocrisy. And this is the thing that he said he hated, and I said I hate it too. Religious hypocrisy, when people are saying that they believe something but don't act in accordance with it, it's horrible. It's horrible, and it moves people away from God. The third thing that we said we agreed on was the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. We were talking about how Jesus would sit. Jesus wasn't involved in a club. Jesus was exclusive for the way of salvation, but he wasn't exclusive of who he would sit with. And he loved that. He loved the idea of Jesus doing that. He loved the idea of Jesus sitting with the downtrodden, with the oppressed, with those who have had a hard life. He loved that idea, so we spoke about that. And so my suggestion for us today, when we're thinking about knowing the facts about God, the accuracy of the predictions. Knowing Jesus personally in our lives and coming into relationship with God, but also showing the love of God. That at this Christmas time, at this time, I would encourage us all to spend time with our families, to spend time with our children, to contact those who we might not have been in contact with for quite some time. If you know somebody who has no family, if you know somebody who has nobody around them at Christmas time, send them a text, ring them, be with them, talk to them, help them. If somebody's lonely at this time, be with them. If there's anybody in your life at present, if you've offended anybody in your life, then seek reconciliation with them. If somebody's offended you, forgive them. But show them the love of Jesus. Know the facts about God. Know Jesus personally, but show the love of God and the love of Jesus at this time in the same way that God has shown his love to us through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done, that you went to the cross, that you were resurrected, and that we have salvation in your name. Amen.